day. A blessed and beautiful good Sunday morning to you, our radio listeners. We are truly appreciative of being able to come into your homes every Sunday. Today, under the auspices of the District Women's Ministry, we thank our sponsors, Federal Mortar Spears, located right there in Eagle Hall, and our Nazarene District Office for making this possible, along with 97.5, who through their ministry present Jesus to a dying world. Blessings on this Lord's Day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy and privilege it is to present your gospel. We pray today that lives will be touched, changed, and transformed for your glory. May every listener be attentive even as the Holy Spirit prods their heart. And may they be encouraged to live out your truths and walk boldly in their faith. May those whose minds that are halted between two opinions, may they find that you are indeed the best treasure anyone can have. And be obedient to the Spirit's wooing today, in Jesus' name. Today, our message is entitled, Treasures in Earthen Vessels. 2 Corinthians 2, 4-9 reads, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Now you may ask, what are clay jars? What purpose do they serve? Clay jars were containers created by skilled potters who took raw clay, shaped and molded it as they desired, and then baked the clay until it was hard. Then they painted, glazed, or decorated the jars for whatever purpose they had in mind. In ancient times, sacred scrolls or valuable documents were rolled up and placed inside a jar of clay and then hidden for safekeeping. The Dead Sea Scrolls were kept in such jars of clay. Pottery jars could be beautiful or purely functional, but they had one thing in common. They were breakable. Contents could not be forever housed in jars of clay. Clay jars were temporary holding places. According to 2 Corinthians 4:7, we are like jars of clay with a treasure inside. This means that our physical bodies are like those jars. We are made from clay. Our bodies come in all shapes and sizes, each designed by the heavenly potter for whatever purpose he desires. This is found in Isaiah 45:9, 64:8, and Romans 9:21. Our bodies are beautiful, functional, and breakable. Our bodies are temporary housing places for the treasure God has given us, namely, the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. The knowledge of the gospel is a rich truth indeed. When Paul wrote the scripture, he was recalling his own journey. All the things he suffered and endured for the gospel of Christ while in his own clay jar. Paul wasn't comfortable with this kind of writing, but was compelled to respond to men with destructive agendas. He wanted those in Corinth to know that he was experiencing troubling times, valley times from the outsiders who sought to undermine his influence and work. You can be sure that valleys are a certainty of life. Your job is eliminated. Your husband is having an affair. Your wife is constantly nagging you, or your teenagers are giving you hell on earth. Financial pressures suffocate dreams, or the betrayal of a trusted friend inflicts a wound so deep and painful that you long for that valley of death. Each day is thick with fear, and your heart is filled with disbelief. The valley may suddenly be before you, in a time of loneliness or in the shock of a dire medical diagnosis. When the valleys come, we are tempted to abandon our faith and strike out in our own strength, when what we should do is embrace our faith in God, look for our shepherd and follow him. This is when we experience what it means to be hard-pressed. Warren E. Berkeley from Expository Fells says, "Hard-pressed in the New King James Version means afflicted in every way. In plain old English, it is simply being squeezed." Now, this is something we can identify with. Though it may well be we may not have suffered the kind of pressure Paul endured, we do know what it means to be squeezed or hard-pressed. You may feel this pressure in your budget, your health, your schedule, your relationships, your temptations. Pressure or stress is a realistic feature of life on earth. And life on earth is difficult. It was particularly hard for Paul, a victim of hostility and terror at the hands of those who rejected the gospel. He was persecuted and struck down, so that death was working in his life. He was hard-pressed on every side. God's mercy reaches down beyond the muck and mire of our past to recreate in us the grace and love of Jesus. He lifts fallen heads, purifies rebellious hearts, and places slippery feet on solid ground. Nothing about having a past or complicated associations can keep you from walking out the freedom and hope of Jesus. God always uses the broken to showcase his beauty. Believe it. How many of us have a treasure hidden in the darkness of our lives, unaware of its immense value? God wants nothing more than for you and me to have full access to all the blessings and rewards he's already laid aside for us to have. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Paul was not crushed. He was perplexed, but not in despair. And we thank God for the conjunction but. But not distressed, not in despair, but not forsaken, but not destroyed. Because for every affliction mentioned, there is hope. And we all have that testimony where we say, this happened, that happened, this could have happened, that could have happened, but God. But since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. Scripture, and we also confirm it because we also believe and therefore spoke, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Who can join with Paul in knowing what it means to have troubles on every side, to be squeezed? I know I can, like most of us. Sometimes it feels as if you barely have your head above the waters before another wave knocks you down. And it's like, Lord, how much? How much longer, Lord? As women and children of God, we know how easily it is for us to become perplexed when the neighbor or your church family is running their mouth and talking about things that they don't have a clue about. When the attitude from the boss changes at work or the relationship changes at church and we wonder, what's up with that? Behavioral change can indeed be perplexing. But since we can afford to take comfort in the fact that once we suffer for the name and things of Christ, we will be vindicated. We will always be conquerors, overcomers. Because just as Paul's endurance was a function of his faith, so ours can be when we persevere under pressure. And so it can be easy to live life unaware that God has set aside this treasure to have. We can often live lives in desperation, wondering when we're going to get a break, questioning when God's going to finally come through. We can rejoice because Scripture tells us that when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. It's hard, it's difficult, but with God, we can endure. He can help us to learn. And endurance develops strength of character in us, because character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation, and this expectation will not disappoint us. So how do we discover this fantastic treasure and let God take care of our needs? Most often, it's in life's darkness that God prepares us for His best. I have a friend whose name is Annabelle. And I want to share with you how sometimes we allow our thoughts to aid us in living defeated lives, just like Annabella would have done. We believe the lies the enemy tells us when he says that we are not good enough, or we have to do more to earn God's love. And this is exactly what my friend Annabella experienced. Listen to her story. What I could not comprehend, what I could not accept, was that Jesus could love me, Annabelle, Mason's mother. You see, I believed that in order for a person to accept me, to love me, I had to perform for him. My standard for getting love was performance-based, so I performed constantly, perfectly. In fact, I did not allow anyone to see me when I was not performing perfectly. I never had any close friends because I was convinced that if a person ever really got to know me, they wouldn't like me. And so I carry this unrealistic belief into my relationship with God. And as I began to study the Bible, I found to my horror that He knew my every thought, let alone everything I said or did. I was standing bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. What did this mean to me? That meant that He really knew me. That He saw me when I wasn't performing well. Based on what I perceived as my responsibility to perform in order to receive acceptance, I concluded without a doubt that He could not possibly love me. That He could never like what He saw. Then God used a very special person to help Annabella understand the depths of God's love for her. Her second child, Mason David Gilliam. Mason was a special needs child who could barely speak. And one day, while washing the dishes, Mason was sitting in his chair just watching Annabella. At least, he was looking at her. She said she stopped washing the dishes and got down on her knees in front of Mace. She took his dirty little hands and tried so desperately to reach him. Mason, I love you. I love you. If you could only understand how much I love you. But Mace just stared. He couldn't understand. He could not comprehend. She stood up by the sink again. More dishes, more washing, more crying. And then thoughts, foreign to her way of thinking, began filtering into her conscious awareness. She said she believed God spoke to her that day, and this is what He said. Annabelle, you don't look at your son and turn away in disgust because he's sitting there with saliva drooling out of his mouth. You don't shake your head repulsed because he has dinner all over his shirt or because he's sitting in a dirty, smelly diaper when he ought to be able to care for himself. Annabelle, you don't reject Mason because all of the dreams you had for him have been destroyed. You don't reject him because he doesn't perform for you. You love him, Annabelle, just because he is yours. And it is the same with me. I love you, Annabelle, not because you are neat or attractive, or because you do things well, not because you perform for me, but simply because you are mine. Now, every child of God walking the dust of this broken world can suffer from identity amnesia. The woman who believes her shameful past defines her. The mother who assumes her children's mistakes diminishes her. The daughter who suspects her fallible and flaws devalue her. It's easy to forget who we are when disappointment declares who we aren't. As women, we know what it means to be cast aside, looked over, forsaken. And because of life, we allow our past and present experiences to influence our thought life. But we need to hold every thought captive. If it's of God, embrace it. If it's not, discard it. And so from this, like Paul, we need to learn whatever kind of pressure we feel as a child of God, whatever specific form the squeezing may take, being crushed is not inevitable. When I believe and speak according to the truth of the gospel, when I live unto him, there is never a reason to lose heart. And so we need to stay diligent in fulfilling our calling to ministry, teaching the word and caring for each other. God will reveal wonderful treasure. Know that God has called each and every one of you to a mighty work. The hardships we face can be distracting, even paralyzing sometimes. Life situations squeezes and shakes us so that our focus now turns inward instead of upward. But that's what God does in the midst of our troubles. He lets life press down so that he can fill in the gaps. 2 Corinthians 4:8 reads, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing." God wants to know whether our focus is on him or our hardships. So when we stay diligent with what he's given us, God will fill us to overflowing and with even more down the road. God entrusts to us treasure that will last forever. 2 Peter 1:3. The treasure we are privileged to hold is the knowledge of our Creator through his Son, Jesus Christ. While we were dead in our sin and destined for our destruction, God made a way for us to be new. Our physical jars of clay will be resurrected one day to become glorified eternal bodies. 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. God extends an invitation for whosoever will to come to him while still in these earthly bodies. Revelation 22:17. This knowledge and resulting relationship with God are the greatest treasures any earthly vessel can hold. All that we do and are should only be for his glory. This allows us to function in our ministries despite whatever comes our way. Today, I pray that even as we sat and we listen and as we look at our lives, that we will be cognizant of the fact that God uses our story. I am sure that there are women who can identify that they've gone through, men too, and they wonder, what's the purpose? Why am I going through this? But then God in his glory, God in his grace, God in his mercy reveals our treasure. Because then we are able to stand up and we are able to encourage someone. We are able to say to them, look, I have been here. This was done to me. I have gone through. If we went through life unscathed, how then would we recognize our need of God? You know, there is a falsehood, a false truth that says to us, God does not give us more than we can bear. That's not true. He gives us more than we can bear. And why? Because if we could bear it, we would have no need of him. We would try however which way to make it work. But when we have come to the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving has only begun. And so today I want to encourage you as I encourage myself. This journey has not been easy. This journey can get troublesome, worrisome, heartbreaking at times. but keeping our eyes and our attention focused on God allows us to maximize the joy that He has placed inside of us. Not happiness, but the joy that comes from knowing Him, the joy that comes from loving Him. And so today I pray that you would find this joy that is your treasure. And so as we close today, I just want to say a simple prayer over you. Father, thank you that you hear us when we cry out for help. When we find ourselves in pits, we ask you to lift us up and to set our feet on solid ground. Help us to see your purpose in the journey that we're on. May we avoid temptations and pitfalls. Keep us walking in faith every day. Lord, we ask you to give us your peace so we might weather the storms and relax in dark times, knowing that you are with us. Fill us with a greater measure of your courage that we might stand boldly against the enemy's attacks. Finally, we ask for our patience as we wait for your great treasures, both here and in the life to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again, listeners. And thanks again to Federal Motor Spares and our District Nazarene office for sponsoring this radio program, and to the District Women's Ministry for partnering and sharing today. I pray blessings on you as we go, taking this beautiful song entitled Joy by Vashawn Mitchell, which speaks to beauty in our brokenness. I pray that you will be blessed and encouraged today in Jesus' name. Until we hear again, God bless you.
Yes, you.